Minnesota. Welcome into FYI Politics with Brett Johnson on a Wednesday afternoon. Got to go back to that top of the hour newscast where Donald Trump said he's keeping the coronavirus task force around because it's so popular. I'll tell you what, Eric, who's on the other side of the glass, I'm a total fanboy for the coronavirus task force.
You had no idea it'd be so popular.
I know.
Better keep it around.
I might cosplay as Anthony Fauci. Although, is Fauci on the coronavirus task force technically? I thought it was like Pence and a couple other economic guys.
I have no idea which one's technically the coronavirus task force. Is Kushner in charge of it?
I heard he was like running a shadow coronavirus task force with a bunch of his buddies. Like they were dueling with the actual coronavirus task force. That was a real thing where the real task force was upset about the shadow task force that Kushner was running. And if he were to wind it down, that would concern. Initially, I thought, all right, that's good news. That means no more Jared Kushner. But then I thought, well, that probably means the shadow task force will emerge as the real task force. But either way, due to popular demand, the coronavirus task force is going to remain a thing. So go ahead and cosplay as Mike Pence and whoever else is on that task force. Go ahead and go fanboy or fangirl on that thing, since Trump thankfully has announced he is going to be keeping that around due to the incredible popularity, because I can't go a minute of the day without thinking about the coronavirus task force. They're like the Beatles of the 2020s at this point.
They're so cool.
Very cool. All the cool kids love the coronavirus task force. Got open phone lines the entire hour at 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Lots to cover on the show today. Update you what's happening at the state legislature. Also have some thoughts on protesters, specifically people who are protesting to try to reopen the economy. Talk about some polling in terms of Joe Biden. Kind of been a theme I've been doing for the past few shows. And I have yet another poll regarding Joe Biden, only this time it includes Justin Amash. How could he impact the presidential race? We'll probably get to that towards the last segment of the show. But first, got to start off with this at the state legislature. It has not been a good week for the Minnesota Republican caucus in both the House and the Senate. Let's start off on the Senate side. So you'll probably remember last week, Senator Scott Jensen was caught golfing during a committee meeting that he happens to be the co-chair of. Drew the ire of many fellow politicians, mostly on the Democratic side. I didn't think it was quite as big of a deal as some people were making it out to be, because, I mean, people are usually multitasking during these committee meetings. But either way, it's probably not the best optics to be golfing during a committee meeting that you're the co-chair of. But
yeah, that's the main thing for me, is that he's in charge of it.
Yeah.
Where if he was just maybe a side member, maybe he didn't have much to contribute, but he's supposed to be the one facilitating all this discussion, how, you know, work through solutions. The fact that he's not making that his priority is kind of concerning.
Yeah. I think was also not good optics, too, is that he was trying to hide that he was golfing and not doing a very good job of it whatsoever. Like when, if you're watching on Facebook, he was putting his phone like right up to his face to try to hide that there was a golf cart and a golf course. And he was forgetting to mute his phone when his other members of his party, his golfing party, were trying to tee off. So I think if he would have been out in the open and saying, hey, you know what, I messed up, I made a tee time during the committee meeting, I'll do my best to try to listen in, certainly that would have drawn some blowback, but it wouldn't have been quite as much as I think happened when people figured out that he was golfing and then he was trying to hide it on top of that.
Yeah, it'd be less funny, which, I mean, most of the discussion I hear about is just people laughing at him, which is probably more than he would have gotten otherwise.
Yeah, so certainly not a good week for Scott Jensen. He, of course, also a number of weeks ago frequently was going on Fox News and peddling a conspiracy theory that we were somehow inflating the number of coronavirus deaths, even though, if anything, we're probably under-reporting the amount of deaths. Just go ahead and look at what's happening down in Florida, where their health department has basically stopped reporting COVID-19-related deaths. So if anything, we're under-reporting them, which... You had a chance to speak with Scott Jensen in person when you and Hunter interviewed him last week, and I made this comment to Patrick, my producer.
Last year.
or last year. Yeah, not last week, last year. I made the comment to Patrick, my producer, yesterday. Is Scott Jensen just kind of in screw it mode right now? I'm retiring at the end of the year. I'm no longer running for re-election. Or has he always kind of been a little shady? I don't know, shady is necessarily the right term, but probably more just a typical type of conservative Republican, because he gave off that perception that he was one of the few reasonable Republicans. But over the past few weeks, he's certainly not been giving off a good vibe, being that he's golfing during a committee meeting and then peddling conspiracy theories on Fox News. Maybe he's always been this way, but he certainly likes to give off that perception that he is a reasonable Republican.
Yeah, my impressions of him were that he was definitely kind of a slimeball.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really speak to his motivations then or now, mm-hmm. or if, you know, the truth to his real character, but I get the sense that he was kind of an operator. He knew how to give off the presentation of caring about stuff. Well, that maybe.
And to be honest, that's what almost every politician does. They like to give off that.
Yeah, when it's really he's concerned with himself. But,
yeah. Which is true of, yeah, just about every politician. So, yeah, you were kind of getting that vibe from him, and maybe it's just coming to the surface now, being that he's not running for re-election. He's saying, well, to hell with everything. I'm not running for the Senate again. I can pretty much just go out and be my real self and do whatever I want. So, continuing on, Republicans having a bad week, certainly bad optics with Jason Lewis, but we had another Republican senator get involved with a controversy. As Senator Jason Eichorn, who is from District 5, which represents the Bemidji area and some other parts of northern Minnesota. So yesterday, he was upset with the fact that rural Minnesotans, and really any Minnesotan, is not allowed to camp right now. They're not allowed to do any recreational camping. So yesterday, he went on his social media account, I believe it was his Facebook page, and he recorded a video in front of a homeless camp with tents behind him. And he said, if you're okay with this, looking behind at the homeless campers, he then turned around and said, you should certainly be okay with our resorts in greater Minnesota.
I don't know. Jesus I mean, I'm not okay with that. Maybe they should find some housing for those people.
Yeah, that there's many reactions you could have to that, and that's certainly one of them, that no, we're not okay with homeless people camping. And then we can also certainly add in that no one is out there in a homeless camp doing it for fun. And you're at a homeless camp, you're not out there making s'mores by the campfire and telling ghost stories. You're out there because you have no other place to go whatsoever. Now, I know where he's kind of coming from, because if you look at his background, he is the owner of a sports store up in the northern Minnesota area. So, yeah, his store has probably taken a hit, being that they can't be open and selling camping gear. But that is a horrible video to make, to record that in front of a homeless camp in St. Paul, saying, well, if you're okay with this, you should be okay with our resorts in greater Minnesota being open.
Yeah, I mean, make an ultimatum to him. If he's willing to compromise on getting homeless people shelter, mm-hmm. then, yeah, you guys can camp.
And I should point out, I don't even necessarily disagree with him that we maybe should be able to open up some of those resorts in northern Minnesota. I mean, that's the ultimate social distancing, is going to the boundary waters and camping. So I don't even necessarily disagree with his position. But the way he tried to convey his position was less than ideal by recording in front of a homeless camp, because no one is doing that for fun or for recreational purposes whatsoever.
Yeah, you want to go over to St. Paul and set up some camps under an overpass?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like fun.
That sounds like a lot of
make
fun.
Make some s'mores.
Yeah, make some s'mores, set up a nice campfire, tell ghost stories, maybe do a little exploring. Oh, yeah, you can't really explore in an urban area in nature for the most part. He did add at the end of the video, I kind of like that he added this as a throwaway line. He said, it's too bad the homeless have to live this way, just at the very end of the video, which, yeah, if he really feels that way, then what are you doing in the state legislature to make sure people don't live that way? That would certainly be a good question, and that doesn't mean making people who need public assistance pee in a cup or anything like that. So Eichorn did later delete the video, probably smartly, but I should point out, I looked at his Senate district. It is District 5, and it is a very, very competitive district. So if you're not happy about Senator Jason Eichorn and his thoughts, he is going to face a very tough re-election campaign. Already the current mayor of Bemidji, Rita Albrecht, has announced that she is going to be running against him. And if you look at the results from 2016, Eichhorn only won re-election by a grand total of 600 votes, 50% to 49%. And in fact, when he was first elected back in 2012, he had to unseat another Democrat who currently represented that district. So it's not like he's even doing this from ruby red territory. He's doing it from a very competitive district that is SD5, which will probably see lots of money poured in. And, well, now Bemidji Mayor Rita Albrecht, his Democratic opponent, probably has a nice campaign video that she can use against him. So, nonetheless, on the Senate side, not a good week for Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, because he has a couple of senators that are well behaving in a foolish manner, with Jason Eichhorn posting that video in front of a homeless encampment, and then Scott Jensen going into, I don't know, like Big Lebowski mode, where he just doesn't really care anymore. He's going on Fox News peddling conspiracy theories. Hey, I'm just going to go out and golf. I'll conduct my committee hearing there. He's just he doesn't care anymore. He's just going to go out and be Scott Jensen. He's going to do what's best for Scott Jensen over the next few months until his term expires. So it's not just the Senate Republicans that have had not such a good week. House Republicans have also ran into a little bit of controversy themselves. This comes to us from Representative Eric Lucero, a Republican from Dayton, Minnesota. So the background on this is that Democratic Representative Frank Hornstein, he's a DFLer from Minneapolis, was introducing new legislation that would change the way the state reports hate crimes because, well, amid COVID-19, we've had lots of Asian people report that they have been receiving harassment. In fact, I even remember having a conversation with Ellie Krug, who has a couple of adopted Asian daughters, and they're basically afraid right now to even go shopping since they've had racial slurs yelled at them. So certainly it's probably well-timed legislation. But Representative Lucero, the Republican from Dayton, doesn't so much feel that way. And Keith Ellison, who is the attorney general, was testifying in favor of this new legislation that would strengthen hate crime laws. And Lucero had a question for Keith Ellison. Well, he first proposed a statement, then had a question for Keith Ellison. So here is what Lucero said. Quote, "This reminds me of a video I actually saw probably about a year ago on YouTube." Already we're off to a good start here. "There was a gas station and a customer, a man, was in the gas station, and the clerk addressed the customer as a man, but the man thought he was a woman." Keep in mind, I'm using Lucero's language here. So basically, it was a trans person that was at a gas station talking to a clerk. The clerk thought that the customer was a man when, in fact, the customer had transitioned to being a woman. So Lucero proceeded to say that in this video, the trans woman went on a tirade or a fit against the gas station clerk. So then Representative Lucero asked Ellison if he would criminally enforce a man who demanded he be referred to as a woman. Would that, he asked, be referred to as a crime? This is sound logic we're getting from Republicans, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So continuing along, Ellison actually had, I thought, a pretty eloquent response to this. He paused for a while and said, "I can tell you this, it's clear that it does not violate criminal code." And it sounded like to him this was just an example of neighbors having to work things out among themselves. He said, "Not every offensive thing is a hate crime," and Ellison's actually right in what he's saying. But Ellison did quote and say that you can stand up technically on a podium, for instance, and say, "I don't like black people," but you cannot go on a podium and say, "Go hurt that black person that's walking down the street." So he did make that legal statement, or that legal
clarification.
That's the word I'm looking for right there. But what I would like to point out with this, so going to this so-called YouTube video, and by the way, being that he's citing this as a YouTube video, what are the chances it was either staged or fake?
Maybe, or you're just finding singular instances of someone being rude. It's not hard to do that.
Yeah, and how about this too? I don't know if you've talked to any trans person before. I know a few people who have transitioned to either being a male or female. They're generally not going to go on a tirade or an angry fit against a complete stranger for misgendering them. mostly out of fear for the fact that they potentially could be assaulted. It's also very uncomfortable to do that. Most people, if they even do decide to correct you on their pronouns, are going to do it in a very polite way. But that's even if they decide to correct you on that, because sometimes they end up not correcting you at all just for the fear of doing that to a stranger. You don't necessarily know what type of response you're going to get.
Yeah, I think that it – I mean, they're just like anyone else, where if you mm-hmm. approach them with goodwill, you know, have a good-natured, like, mm-hmm. mistake, they can correct you, and it's not a big explosive event. Mm-hmm. Or if you approach them with, you know, being rude or hostile, you might get something else.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, like you were saying, too, if the video is true, it's probably a very isolated incident that happens little to not at all. So, yeah, that is the logic there from Representative Eric Lucero, fearing that if we strengthen our hate crime laws, somehow trans people are going to get a license to go out and berate and attack people in public, because that happens so often right now. And I'm sure there's just a lot of trans people who are just
itching.
They're just itching to go out there and start screaming and yelling at people all of a sudden, just because we have apparently this new hate crime law.
Yeah. I mean, if all your news about trans people comes from right wing Facebook groups, that's mm-hmm. probably what you really believe.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're not wrong about that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up, we'll talk more about what's happening in the state legislature. We'll get to some good legislation that's being proposed. We'll steer away from Republicans being goofy in the state legislature and start talking about some bills that might impact you in your day-to-day life. We'll get to that coming up next here on AM 950.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Minuteman Press Uptown is the only minority-owned union print shop in the state, and they truly believe that a rising tide lifts all ships. Minuteman Press has created the Bounce Back USA campaign to help the community and local economy through the pandemic. Bounce Back USA is a free platform from Minuteman Press that serves two purposes, safety and stimulus. With safety first, they're distributing COVID-19 awareness and prevention posters at no charge to any business in their service area. Minuteman Press Uptown is also providing free local advertising on BounceBackUSA.com to stimulate business and help all of our neighbors. So post your company message to stimulate your own economy on their totally free marketing platform at BounceBackUSA.com. You can design your own ad or just type the message and upload your logo. Minuteman Press Uptown's experts with 100-plus years of industry experience will take it from there. That's Minuteman Press Uptown, still open and printing everything, and committed to helping the local economy through BounceBackUSA.com.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. Zero Res understands that to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, the CDC recommends cleaning carpets and hard surfaces where we live and work. And that's what they do best. Their zero contact protocol means their technicians will wear gloves and shoe covers, disinfect all equipment between jobs, and exercise social distancing while cleaning and sanitizing your home. Right now, Zero Res is offering 20% off all surfaces to AM 950 listeners. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and make sure you mention AM 950 to get 20% off.
The British are coming! The British are coming! The British are coming! Hey, you there! I'm Paul Revere! The British are coming! Where is everyone?
Ben Franklin dispatched the evacuation warning on Facebook. Didn't you get it?
Hi, I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us today online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get dispatched and selected on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. socialmediamn.com or 763-244-4058.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, with Brett Johnson here on FYI Politics. So yesterday we saw that we are going to have a projected $2.4 billion state budget deficit, which erased any hopes of a possible not deficit that we were going to have. We were supposed to have a surplus, but instead we now are having a deficit, which shouldn't come as a surprise, being that we have the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, fortunately, most of that deficit can be covered by budget reserves, since smartly we had $2.3 billion sitting there in budget reserves. And as I talked about yesterday, that's exactly why you build up budget reserves when you get a surplus. So when you have an emergency situation, you don't have to make devastating cuts to state government. But being that the economic crisis is likely to last more than a year, I know I hear Trump saying that he's hoping we're going to have a V-shaped downturn and then economic recovery, when in truth, most times when you have an economic downturn, it usually ends up being shaped like a U, where the recovery takes a long time. Best example would be what we saw with the Great Recession from 2008, 2009, and 2010. So we're probably going to continue to have budget deficits in Minnesota for the next few years. Now, of course, the state legislature will eventually have to determine, well, how are we going to solve this budget shortfall? Are we either going to cut spending or are we going to raise revenue through increasing taxes? Now, Republicans are probably going to immediately go out and say, well, we need to cut personnel out of the state employment. We need to cut people from working from the state government. We need to cut public employees. But Governor Walz, I thought, made a good point right here, and I didn't even know this. Minnesota public employees only make up 7% of the entire budget, just 7%. Most of the money really goes to health care and education. So if you're going to cut the budget, you're probably going to have to cut one of those two areas. And both of those are not good areas to cut, by the way. I would think you're probably going to have to increase revenue at some point and maybe even go with a few budget cuts. Also pointed out by Peter Callahan, writer on MinnPost, who, by the way, we got to get back on the show. He's one of the Capitol reporters over there. He did bring up that if we don't do anything this session, that this could have a pretty big impact on state employees, since there are a number of state contracts, 11 of them altogether, that cover 46,000 workers. And if we don't have those contracts signed again, which is very possible if the legislature doesn't sign off on it, they potentially could be facing unemployment. And we could be having Republicans possibly using the justification saying that now that we are facing a state budget deficit, we need to renegotiate our employee contracts. So there's a good chance that state workers could either be laid off or also see a cut in their pay. Now, I won't bring up who this is, but one of the political commentators made this point when talking about the budget deficit. They said, with tens of thousands of Minnesotans out of work, if there are no layoffs from the state government, it will look as though government is out of touch. And I think that's completely looking at this in the wrong way. I think when you look at private employment and public employment, they should really have an inverse relationship, where if you have strong private employment numbers, that would be the time, if you're going to cut state government, that would be the time to do it. It would strike me is that if you're having an economic downturn where private employers are having to lay people off, that would be the time to expand public employment so people can get back to actually doing a job and making an income. And, oh, by the way, investing money back in the economy by going out and buying everyday items. I've never quite gotten why, whenever we have an economic downturn, we always say we need to cut state government. I think that relationship needs to work as sort of an inverse with the private economy or with private employment, because if you have people that are losing their jobs in private industry, that would be the time to increase public spending, i.e. what we saw with the public works program back during the Great Depression. So, yeah, I get what they're saying, that, oh, yeah, it's not good optics when people are losing their jobs for the state government not to lay people off. But I think they should be doing the exact opposite of that to make sure people can stay employed in some form.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. When they talk about good optics, or, this comes off as out of touch. I think it comes off as out of touch to cut people loose during a crisis.
And if you lay people off from state government, that's less money that's going to be put into your local economy, which, by the way, goes and hurts small businesses. I've never gotten this, too, when people talk about public employees. They forget that those public employees don't live in a bubble. They're still people
you interact with every day. They function in the economy just like everyone else.
And by the way, if you run, let's say, a restaurant or if you run a bowling alley or something like that, those public employees are some of the customers that you have that are spending money at your business. So, bad optics, whatever. I think this would be the time to expand state government and to give jobs to people who are currently not employed. By the way, Representative Dean Phillips, I've sometimes given him a hard time with the CARES Act and the so-called oversight he put into this bill. But I do want to go through something that Dean Phillips did that I do kind of agree with. And this has to do with what we're talking about with government maybe expanding when we're having an economic downturn. So Representative Dean Phillips just is proposing a bill called the Undertaking National Initiative to Tackle Epidemic. They're so good at coming up with acronyms on these bills. The acronym comes through as UNITE. Doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You can always come up with good acronyms whenever you make your bill. But anyways, besides the point, what this bill does is significantly increase the size of AmeriCorps. Now, if you're not familiar, AmeriCorps are basically volunteers for people to go work in the community where they get health insurance and child care assistance and federal student loan forgiveness and a stipend of about $650 every 2 weeks. So not necessarily ideal, but still not the worst idea in the world when you're having an economic downturn like we're having right now. Currently, AmeriCorps employs 75,000 people, and the legislation proposed by Dean Phillips would increase that number to $500,000 and also significantly increase that stipend as well, which I think is certainly a good thing. So no matter what your thoughts are on AmeriCorps, I do like the idea that Phillips is at least, I'm thinking, on the same track as me, being that when you're having an economic downturn, that's the time to increase the amount of government employment, and maybe we can do that from an AmeriCorps-type program. Phillips is saying that we can use this expanded AmeriCorps program to help communities that have been impacted by COVID-19. So, kudos there to Dean Phillips, even though I wasn't necessarily happy with some of the provisions he put into the CARES Act and, lack of provisions with any teeth he put into the CARES Act. I do largely agree with him on what he's trying to do with AmeriCorps. All right, coming up next, we'll continue with more local news. Also going to talk about protesters and reopening the economy, all of that and more. Coming up next here on FYI Politics.
Make the most of your time at home with a new grill from Warner Stellion. Speak with a specialist by phone or in store or buy at WarnerStellion.com. Choose from the top gas, charcoal, and pellet grills from the best brands. Then relax. Our trusted specialists will safely deliver your professionally assembled grill for free. And we'll recycle your replaced one, too. Buy confidently with our lowest price guarantee and 18 months special financing. Grill buying is safe and easy with the specialists at Warner Stellion.
Formerly the Audubon Center of the Northwoods, Osprey Wilds is a nonprofit environmental learning center on Grindstone Lake in Sandstone, Minnesota. Osprey Wilds has community events like Dinner at the Lake, Maple Syrup Day, and learning opportunities for all ages. Audit an environmental education college class, snowshoe or ski our trails, or learn about our wildlife programming. We're open to the public year-round. Visit online at OspreyWilds.org. That's OspreyWilds.org.
Hey, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraking host of The Bradcast, heard weeknights right here on AM 950. Whether it's photo ID restrictions, bad voting machines, or plain old voter intimidation, we will expose all of the latest schemes, frauds, and much more. Right here on The Bradcast with me, Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, Machiavelli.
Niccolo Machiavelli is most famous for saying that in politics, the ends justifies the means.
Yeah, except he never actually said that.
But his masterpiece, The Prince, is an instruction manual for conniving politicians everywhere.
Only because it's so widely misunderstood. The Prince is really about political redemption.
Machiavelli, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
In response to COVID-19, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is working to be safe and healthy for our customers and employees. We enable and require our employees to stay home if they are sick. We are closing our showroom temporarily, but we are answering our phone calls and emails. We can do a lot remotely and electronically. Email us your pictures, sketches, and plans of your project. We will listen to your ideas and make suggestions. We can explain which products will work and price them. We are doing installation and service cost estimating and scheduling. Visit us online at woodlandstoves.com, give us a call, or email us at info@woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 66. Tonight, clear skies with a low around 41. Thursday, sunny with a high of 61 and a low around 34. Friday, sunny with a high of 48 and a low of 34. While Saturday, a chance of rain, the high of 59 and a low of 39. With the state having closed bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, featuring high quality local foods, unique dishes, vegetarian options, and so much more. These restaurants are locally owned, so the money you spend stays local. Find all the restaurants offering takeout at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Back on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So, want to revisit protesters that have been popping up around the country protesting that we need to reopen the economy immediately. Because there's something we need to look at historically when it comes to protesters, and specifically anti-protester bills. I went back into the archives and looked at some of the bills that were proposed in the Minnesota legislature that would, for the most part, criminalize protesting. And probably the harshest one that was proposed was House File 390 that was brought up in March of 2018 by former Republican Representative Nick Zerwas. What was in House File 390? It would increase the penalty from a misdemeanor to a gross misdemeanor for someone who intentionally obstructs traffic. Gee, kind of sounds like something we saw at the state capitol. Also in the bill, restrict passenger access to the statute regarding lawful interference with a transit operator. So does that mean like you can't beat up a bus driver? I'm not quite picking up what's...
You can't handcuff them to a pole.
Yeah, something like that. I'd like to know the story as to why that language was added in the bill. But for the most part, yeah, it would increase the penalty for protesting if you end up blocking traffic, which, by the way, is exactly what we saw at the state capitol in Minnesota and other states around the country, including Virginia and Michigan. So, yeah, just keep in mind, we had that bill proposed way back in 2018, just 2 years ago. And yet we have largely silence from the state legislature when it comes to condemning protesters, mostly talking on the Republican side. But even if we look at what's currently happening, do keep in mind that within the past month, Kentucky, South Dakota, and West Virginia have all adapted their own statutes that would criminalize protests of fossil fuel development and enable energy companies to seek damages from protesting organizers. So essentially they're saying in states like Kentucky, South Dakota, and West Virginia, protesting is okay as long as you're protesting for freedom or something. But
you're protesting in favor of capital and making money.
Yeah, yeah. Putting in a less nice terms, exactly. That you hit the nail on the head right there. Yeah, but as soon as you start protesting something like a pipeline, that's going to be a criminal now. By the way, should point out, all three of those bills were signed into law within the past month, including Kentucky, which, sorry to say, has a Democratic governor. So it's not even necessarily a partisan issue at times. Also, those newly enacted laws would designate natural gas or petroleum pipelines as key infrastructure assets and criminalize tampering with, impeding, or inhibiting operations of a key infrastructure asset. The Kentucky law, which, like I brought up, was signed by a Democratic governor, passed by the GOP-controlled legislature, and it provides both criminal and civil penalties for anyone who damages property or for any person or organization that directs or causes a person to violate the law. That's an even more terrifying provision to put in there. not only if you're just out there damaging property, if you're encouraging someone to damage property, if you're not even the person who's physically going and damaging property, you could potentially be facing charges in the state of the Kentucky. Whew, yeah, so at the time I was pretty happy that Andy Beshear was the Democratic elect governor in Kentucky, but he needs to do a little work on being a little bit more friendly towards protesters, because I'm sure we're having silence from all of these people who supported these laws when it comes to, well, these freedom protesters who are talking about that we need to reopen the economy. So I've got to bring this up, too, when it comes to these protesters that want to reopen the economy. We need some perspective on this. It's only been, what, a month, maybe a month and a half, since stay-at-home orders have been put in place? It has not been that long. I could maybe see where they're coming from if we had been facing a stay-at-home order for a year or 2 years or something longer than that. I would kind of agree with them to a point and say, yeah, we probably do need to adapt to the way we live with COVID-19. But for the love of God, it's only been happening for a month or a month and a half.
Yeah. I'm sympathetic somewhat to some of the protesters, just because if the Democrats are not going to provide them with any sort of recovery options or any sort of stimulus, then, yeah, we're going to start seeing people being kicked out of their houses. Or just know, you know, when these rent freezes stop, how am I going to pay for anything? I haven't been able to work. But at the same time, these things are clearly organized by right-wing groups.
And going back to what you were saying, yeah, I can certainly get where they're coming from, too, if they're saying, well, we're losing all of this money because our businesses are closed. And I've always made the point that we don't need to make this a choice between saving our economy and saving lives. You can do both of those at the same time if you provide an economic stimulus or benefits to people who have been negatively impacted by what's happened economically with the coronavirus. That's the point of government, to be there as a social safety net.
It sets it up as a false paradigm where it can only be open, or we're all poor and we don't get any money. Mm-hmm. Where it's, well, the government exists for a reason. Why don't we make that reason to support us during this crisis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't even know if people are necessarily protesting for those reasons. I think they're mostly doing it.
They are not.
Yeah, because they want a haircut, which, by the way, I need, or they want to go to the bar or something like that. And yeah, like I was saying, if we had been in these types of conditions for, let's say, a year or 2 years, I would maybe start to get on board with them and say, yeah, we probably do need to look at trying to adapt to life and try to find ways to reopen the economy. But again, perspective. This has only been in place, the stay-at-home order in Minnesota, for what, like a month and a half? In some of these other states where they've been protesting, their stay-at-home orders have only been in effect for like 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, you don't need to get whiny about this when you've only been stuck at home for like a month. Now, as Eric was saying, I get that if you're coming from it from an economic perspective, but that's largely what the government is for. But I don't even think a lot of the protesters are going out there and protesting the economic.
Yeah, I'd be fully sympathetic if their arguments were we need some sort of stimulus or some sort of support, but it's always just open the economy.
Just open the economy. Exactly. And by the way, who are your customers going to be if you reopen a bowling alley or a movie theater or a bar? When we talked about that poll yesterday, when it was like 76% of Americans are in favor of the stay-at-home orders and only like 18% of people said they would be comfortable going to a movie theater at this point.
And like, a lot of those businesses like restaurants, movie theaters run on such thin margins that if you did stipulate some sort of like reduced capacity, it wouldn't be profitable.
Yeah. It would be tough to run a profit, yeah, for instance, at a bowling alley or even a movie theater if you could only have 25% capacity because, yeah, you're certainly going to have less revenue, but you still have to pay staff. And then, oh, by the way, you still need to pay a whole lot of money to make sure you're disinfecting the theater too, which certainly is not cheap to do. So, yeah, as you're saying, your margins are already going to be tight, or were already tight when you worked in those types of industries. And if you try to reopen them with a reduced capacity, those margins are going to be even tighter, or you potentially could be even operating at a loss. But just want to throw that out there, that keep that in perspective if you're just protesting because I can't get a haircut or some goofy reason like that. It's only been a month and a half since the stay-at-home order has been put in place. It's not like this stay-at-home order has been in place for years and years and years, and now we're under some sort of government tyranny. By the way, continuing talking about stay-at-home orders, let's talk about what's happening over on the other side of the river in Wisconsin, because there's a chance their stay-at-home order could be lifted by an order of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. This is being written about over in Slate by Mark Stern, and he says the Wisconsin Supreme Court's conservative majority looked poised today to invalidate the state's COVID-19 safer-at-home rule limiting public gatherings and commercial activity. Now, keep in mind, with the Wisconsin Supreme Court, currently it is a 4-3 majority for conservatives over liberals. They don't run on political parties. They run on largely their perceived political philosophy. Now, keep in mind, just going back to last year, if people had shown up to vote in the last Supreme Court election, talking 2019, not 2020, where liberals were able to take one of the Supreme Court seats, you potentially could have a majority right now and not have this potential quagmire that could happen in Wisconsin. Because if the court does end up striking down Governor Tony Evers' Safer at Home order, what would happen is that, well, the order would immediately be lifted, and then we would have like a committee set up that would determine on how the state would proceed on emergency orders that would include several members of the state legislature. And essentially, whenever you put together large committees, chances are you're not going to get anything done in a timely manner, especially when you consider two of the members of that committee would potentially be the Speaker of the House, Robin Voss, and then the Senate leader, Senator Fitzgerald, who, by the way, have been very much in favor of reopening the economy at all costs. But it would be interesting to see what would happen if the court did kind of call their bluff and end up siding against Tony Evers. I wonder if those guys, Fitzgerald and Voss and whoever else would be on the committee, would ultimately say, all right, we're just going to open everything back up willy-nilly and go ahead and make that order. I wonder if they would actually do that or if they would retreat and say, oh, maybe we do need to actually close down businesses for a short amount of time. It'd be interesting to see what would happen with that. But do keep in mind, this is all because in Wisconsin, people didn't show up and vote in that Supreme Court election back in 2019, which was a seat that liberals should have been able to take, but they didn't because they didn't show up and vote in that election. Also out of Wisconsin, this is a terrifying statistic when it comes to the economy. So often we hear that we're a service-based economy, a manufacturing-based economy, but do keep in mind that a large part of our GDP is based on, well, the agricultural economy. And of course, the ag economy has been hit very hard by what's happening. And Wisconsin has a very, very terrifying stat. Cattle sales are down 40% with producers holding onto animals longer than usual in hopes that capacity could improve and prices recover. Not a good chance of that happening, but just want to point that out because if you think back to the Great Depression, what led that from a recession to a depression, because at the time when you had the stock market collapse back in 1929, looked like we might just have a recession type of thing. But what turned that into a depression was the fact that we also saw a big downturn in the agricultural economy. And I think that sometimes gets lost when we talk about economics, is that even though, yeah, we do have a large service-based economy and manufacturing-based economy, ag is still a big part of what we do in this country. And if ag is hurting, that generally means the rest of the country is going to be hurting as well. Got time for one more segment coming up next here on FYI Politics. We'll talk about a few more miscellaneous stories, also get to another new poll on Joe Biden and how we should interpret that. It's all on the way here on AM 950.
In response to COVID-19, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is working to be safe and healthy for our customers and employees. We enable and require our employees to stay home if they are sick. We are closing our showroom temporarily, but we are answering our phone calls and emails. We can do a lot remotely and electronically. Email us your pictures, sketches, and plans of your project. We will listen to your ideas and make suggestions. We can explain which products will work and price them. We are doing installation and service cost estimating and scheduling. Visit us online at woodlandstoves.com. Give us a call or email us at info@woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. Don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here to say thanks for keeping your radio tuned to AM 950 during this crisis. I also wanted to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart who's become a member of AM 950 over the last few weeks. It's so important to keep AM 950 on the air, maintaining a progressive radio voice in Minnesota for 2020. We feature the best in progressive talk and great local hosts like Brett Johnson, Robert Pilot, and myself. We started our membership program to make sure AM 950 got through this trying time, and you, the listener, have responded. Thank you so very much. You can become a member by simply heading over to am950radio.com and donating. The membership response has been so great, we're planning on launching some brand new members-only content, starting with some great new interviews. Tom Hartman will have a regular monthly members-only interview, and we'll have new member content updated weekly. Head over to am950radio.com and declare, yes, I want to support AM950. For everyone who is a member, thank you so very much for your support, and thanks for listening to the progressive voice of Minnesota, AM 950.
By the way, just finishing up on that Wisconsin Supreme Court case right now that has to do with whether their stay-at-home order will remain in place. I like the argument that Governor Tony Evers' attorney made. The attorney said that if conservative justices or the Republican lawmakers are unhappy with Evers' powers, well, then they should find a solution through legislation that would change the law that provides the governor with those powers. Because largely, whether you like it or not, he does have the power to make emergency declarations. So if you don't like it, then go ahead and change the law. Sometimes an argument, by the way, we hear from Republicans on different matters. Keep in mind, you can sign up for a membership at AM 950. We just heard Matt talking about that a couple of seconds ago on our ad. And if you do sign up for a membership, you get access to our member content page over on am950radio.com. We posted a couple of interviews this week, including one Matt did with Robbie Massey, who climbed Mount Everest or was determined to climb Mount Everest back in 2015 until there was an earthquake. Matt brought up that this was probably his favorite interview that he's ever done. Now, the interview was back in 2015, but Matt shares some thoughts on his conversation with Matt before he goes into that interview. So highly recommend you check that out. It'll be on our member content page over at am950radio.com, as we'll probably be posting a couple of interviews every week. So if you sign up for membership, log on to am950radio.com, click on that member content page, and you'll be able to access those member-exclusive podcasts. And your contribution for being a member can be, well, whatever you're able to contribute. We don't charge any amount where we have to say, well, you need to contribute $100 to get these interviews or $200 to get the interviews. Nope, it's whatever you can afford, whether no matter how much money you want to contribute, if you sign up for a membership, you'll be able to access our member content page over on am950radio.com. Mark and Fridley, it has been a while since I have heard from you. How you doing today, and what's on your mind?
Oh, just so much. But at the top of the hour of your news, you had a segment that said that heart attacks not brought on by heart failure have become a mutation of the COVID-19 coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually involved in that with the National Institute of Health, because I very much believe that that's what happened to me when I got hit January 6th and was hospitalized in mid-March. But what I want to talk about is, and we can talk about that if you want later, but is this thing with George Bush and trying to, why Democrats are expressing their admiration for
I brought this up yesterday, too, where it's like, yeah, we can't go back and just praise George W. Bush because he made one statement on how we need to unite. Did we completely forget about what he did during those 8 years when he was in office? My God.
Of course we did.
Mm-hmm.
Because the International Criminal Court would throw Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld,
I mean, Cheney, if Cheney were to travel to certain countries, he would probably be arrested on the spot. I can't remember exactly which countries, but I think there's even a few in Europe where if he were to go there, he would be arrested as soon as he got off the plane.
They are called the members of the International Criminal Court, which includes everybody except for the U.S. and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't even go to Canada. And but I want to point out quickly is this. The only thing constant is inconsistency. And Mike Pompeo was on ABC News Sunday with Martha Raddatz. It's George Stephanopoulos' show. It's called This Week. And he made the announcement that the State Department and the Trump administration has been shown expressly certifiable evidence that the coronavirus, COVID-19, was created by man, was genetically modified.
Right. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
And was synthetic. Two seconds later, Martha Raddatz asked Pompeo, but that's contrary to what the intelligence community assessment mm-hmm. actually said, with the fact that this was organic. And he said, well, I agree with them.
What?
So in the period of seconds, this guy gave us two conflicting, contrarian stories that could not be more polar opposite. And so we forget what the Bush administration did and the start of all of this. And we need to go back to and we need to hold these people accountable. Suddenly, George W. Bush can't be a good guy who comes across as smart and well-intentioned. And we're hearing from Democrats people that support Democrats that it's not. And as far, this is the same team, Nancy Pelosi. She is not our friend. She is not in favor of national health care. She was not interested in direct payments to the people that have been victimized by this disease. There was no credit relief, no foreclosure relief, mm-hmm. no student loan relief. And she's telling CNN Jake Tapper that he needs to calm down when he contradicts her. So for those of us, and it was great to hear Bill Press name again as coming back with a podcast. Want to be intellectually honest, I would recommend that you look at his book, Buyer's Remorse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Mark. Just a couple more seconds here before we wrap things up.
Because, again, we cannot let this happen. As soon as Barack Obama got elected, telling everybody the right thing, remember when Sarah Palin mocked the Democrats by saying, how do you like all that hopey changey stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We need to hold these people's feet to the fire. They work for us. They don't work for United Healthcare. They don't work for Merck Pharmaceutical. They don't work for Raytheon. They don't work for United Technologies. They are supposed to work for us.
All right, Mark, appreciate the phone call as always. So, Eric, I just came up with an idea as Mark was talking right there. You and I need to start a GoFundMe page for an all-expenses paid vacation for Dick Cheney to go to Geneva.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
All expenses paid. We'll give him a 5-star hotel. We'll give him first-class airfare. In fact, we'll even fund a private jet for him. We'll have all sorts of fun activities planned.
Yeah.
An all expenses paid trip to Geneva for Dick Cheney. That's an idea right there.
I mean, he has no reason not to take it, right? I mean, we're rolling out all the red carpets.
Mm-hmm. All the red carpets. He can meet celebrities. He can go hunting, hopefully not shoot anyone in the face. Yeah, we can all expenses paid for Dick Cheney. We will not hold anything back. We're going to start this GoFundMe campaign for Dick Cheney to go to Geneva. We won't put anything about the fine print about what might happen when he happens to step off the plane.
I mean, that's not up to us.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just buying him a nice all-inclusive resort mm-hmm. trip.
Yeah, we're not in charge of what happens when you get to Geneva, but, you know, we'll still pay for everything for you to get there. I think that's a great idea. That's how we can get Dick Cheney and George W. Bush to go on a nice vacation. I'll just leave it at that. We'll get on top of that. All right, that's all the time I got for today on FYI Politics. Coming up tomorrow, I'll be having a conversation with former AM 950 host Mark Haney. He is a consumer rights attorney, and we're going to be talking about what your rights are as a consumer amid this COVID-19 pandemic. That's coming up tomorrow. But for now, we got Matt McNeil next. Then don't forget Robert Pilot at 5 o'clock.